Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to First Baptist Church in Malden. My name is Rich Robison. I'm filling in today for Pastor Martha, who is in New York supporting her parents and her family, and asked if I could come and support the pulpit here today and lead service. So I'm delighted to do that, to be back with you. I had the opportunity and privilege this winter to be with you for several weeks while Pastor Martha was recuperating from her surgery. So I enjoyed my opportunities then, and I'm enjoying being here today. I'm pleased to introduce to you also, some of my family has come along with me today. And so everybody's saying, who's that new family in the third pew or whatever it is? But it's my daughter Christina, her husband David, her children Emma, Hannah, and Colin. And we're glad that you're here. And if I can boast and be a proud father, my daughter Christina is also receiving her PhD at University of New Hampshire in 2 weeks. And so I can officially call her Dr. Daughter today. So we're glad to have you here. So welcome to all of you. There will be a coffee hour after service if you want to have a chance to visit with each other. You are all welcome. Just go straight through the double doors in the back. I'm told there are a couple of announcements to share today. Some are printed, I think, in your bulletins, and so you can take a look at that. In particular, I need to point out that this afternoon there is a special meeting of the Judson Association. It's the annual meeting. The guest speaker is the Reverend Mary Day Miller, Executive Minister of the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts. It's at First Baptist Church in Wakefield at 4:45. And there is a dinner, which makes it all the better. New England clam chowder, French bread, Caesar salad, chicken parmesan with ziti, roast pork, roast fresh vegetables, and strawberry shortcake. So if there's no other reason to go, there are those. The Church World Service blanket program insert is there for you to take and pay attention to today. The collection will be on May 8th. There's a nomination for Layperson of the Year, and you can see the list of honorees of the past years. A very illustrative list, I might add. Quite impressive. And then finally, First Baptist Malden's lunch preparation as part of the covenant to provide 2 lunches for Habitat for Humanity North Shore is taking place on Saturday, April 30th, beginning at 9 o'clock here in the church's kitchen. And Marilyn Glover is in charge. She needs 6 volunteers to put the lunches together and at least a couple of people to help deliver them to the volunteers at about 11:30 in the morning. There will also be an opportunity for a cleanup crew as well. So if you are interested, please see Marilyn during the coffee hour today and sign up. Are there other announcements that need to be made at this time? And let us go before God in a time of worship and prayer. Please join me in our responsive call to worship as we come together this day. Christ, our Savior, is risen from the dead. Alleluia.
Break forth into joy. Sing together. God comforts those whose lives are broken in sorrow.
We who once suffered in death, we who once cried in despair,
now we know victory over death. We know joy over despair.
For God has raised Christ from the grave. The tomb is empty. Death has been defeated for all the earth. Our first hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, number 17.
Lord of glory, Lord,
us pray. Gracious and loving God, we worship you this day. We acknowledge that you are the giver of life and marvel that you have created us in your image. Each one of us, part of your plan, each one known to you, loved and gifted. And so we are in awe that you should choose to work through us to accomplish your divine intentions. Help us open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our ears this day to once again hear your call, to understand what it is that you have in store for us, to give us the strength in this place and time to live according to your will. Grant us the courage that we need to respond in faith, in hope, and in love. Accept our worship this day. Hear us as we pray together in the manner you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The opportunity for us to greet our children today. So if there are children who would like to come forward, we'd welcome you, children of all ages. Well, as I got out of the car and came into the church, Colin asked me a question because I was carrying something in my hand. What was your question? Which I did not answer at the time. Why am I carrying an Easter basket today? Isn't Easter already over? It like took a long time ago, right? Did anybody get up early on Easter and go to worship? Did anybody have an Easter breakfast somewhere? No? Well, some people did that. And I'm still carrying around the Easter basket. Because in the Christian calendar, it's actually Easter for several weeks after Easter. It's called Eastertide. And today is the fifth Sunday of Eastertide. And so I thought, you can't let a good occasion go without celebrating. And so I brought my Easter eggs. Why do we celebrate Easter eggs in the Christian church? Anybody know? What is special about an Easter egg? Do they have special colors? I know I'm playing Stump the Stars here. Yes? Why do we make them colored? Do we celebrate Easter in the spring, and we think about new life, and we also know that when the eggs open, if I can get it to go open, there it is, it's just like the tomb that Jesus came from. The door opened and new life began. And when a chick is born from an egg, what happens? New life begins. And so in my special eggs today, there's a surprise. Anybody see what it is? Candy. Do you know that we eat more candy at Easter than any other time of the year, except Halloween? And, in particular, jelly eggs, or jelly beans, some people call them, are the most popular. I heard that they manufacture 12 billion jelly eggs just for Easter. That's a lot of candy. We must really be celebrating new life everywhere we go. So, I brought these for you today. You are welcome to take one or two you would like. You can enjoy the treats when your parents tell you it's okay. And you can remember that even though Easter was a few weeks ago, every time you come to church, in the Christian church, we're celebrating the risen Christ, new life. Let's say a prayer together. Oh God, for the gift of new life and new hope every day, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for each of these children and ask your blessing upon them and their families. And may they have a very, very warm and lovely spring, for we ask it through Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. It's nice to see you. You. It's beautiful. This is our time for prayer. Time to raise concerns of the community and to share our concerns for one another. Are there things that people would like to share with one another today? Health concerns, community concerns, celebrations and joys. Nephew Patrick, waiting bladder surgery. Okay. Others. So it's not only the children who are quiet today. Much on our hearts. Much on our thoughts. Let us take a moment and go before God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, love divine. You whose mercies are fresh in the morning. Whose grace amazes us and draws us into joy. Grant this day in our worship and in our daily living that we might always be made deeply aware of the strength of your mercy. For you have shared a great gift. You have given life in all its dimensions. For both joys and sorrows, and smiles and tears, and health and suffering, belief and doubt, we have come this day to praise you, to be filled with your guiding spirit, that which takes us in this life, and to the life that knows no end. You have filled our broken lives, and you recreate them with the hope and the promise of new day. And so you have breathed new life into our sleeping souls and put a song in our hearts. Today we offer our thanks and our praise. We bring to you the concerns of our community and lay them at your feet, for you are all-powerful and all-knowing. You are the one who guides us. We pray for those who come carrying concerns for one another, or perhaps themselves, concerns of health and security, concerns of being distraught, uncertain. We pray for Patrick and for successful healing, his time of surgery. We pray for others in the congregation who are facing challenging times. We pray for our pastor, Martha, for her time with her family, for her need to support them. We pray for our church and for its ministry in this place, in this community around us, in its worldwide mission, in its ability to reach out and to care for those in need. O God, pour down the blessings of your Spirit on each one of us this morning, that we indeed might perceive your nearness once more, that we might be lifted out of darkness into light, that we might find hope instead of despair. We praise your name above all others, giving you thanks for the gifts of life and for love. Though born children of the earth, you have taken us in your arms and made us children of heaven. So let your spark of divine love and light glow within us once more. Grant us to know your grace, power, and your love. For all of these things we bring before you, in the name of Christ we pray. O God, hear our prayers. Amen. With joyful hearts, we come before God to present our gifts and our offerings. Let us worship God. With joyful hearts, we come before you, O God, to dedicate not only these gifts, but ourselves, to live according to your will, to accept your promises of hope and love, and to go with grateful hearts. Indeed, bless us, for we ask it through Christ. Amen.
Morning. Today's scriptures are from the Old Testament first, Psalm 96. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Sing to the Lord and praise Him. Proclaim every day the good news that He has saved us. Proclaim His glory to the nations, His mighty deeds to all peoples. The Lord is great and is to be highly praised. He is to be honored more than all the gods. The gods of all the other nations are only idols. But the Lord created the heavens. Glory and majesty surround Him. Power and beauty fill His temple. Praise the Lord, all the people on earth. Praise His glory and might. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Bring an offering and come into His temple. Bow down before the Holy One when He appears. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say to all the nations, the Lord is King. The earth is set firmly in place and cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with justice. Be glad, earth and sky. Roar, sea, and every creature in you. Be glad, fields and everything in you. The trees and the woods shall shout for joy when the Lord comes to rule the earth. He will rule the peoples of the world with justice and fairness. Romans chapter 8, verses 35-39. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do, or hardship, or persecution, or hunger, or poverty, or danger of death, as the scripture says? For your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. These are the words of the Lord.
Could you hear the hymn that Paul wrote in those words that were just written to and read to us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? We come back to the words of the Christian gospel. And because it's the era that we have to say things succinctly and shortly, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we call it the love chapter. So let's grab a tweet from there. Now faith, hope, love abide, these three. Well, let me try starting again. I was talking about communicating briefly and how important it is. Well, let me just tell you a story instead. Maybe this will get the point across. Seems there was this little boy, we'll call him Jimmy. He was 6 years old. His family was having a hard time. And so he wrote a letter to God, telling him about what was going on at home. My mother's having a hard time. My family's doesn't have enough money. My sister's struggling. Dear God, would you please send us $500? And sent this off. In those days, I guess only we did things through the postal service, you see. And so the postal person that was separating the mail that day saw the address to God and decided he should check it out. And so he opened it. He showed the letter to some of his colleagues. They all were touched by the letter. And so they took up a little lunchtime collection, put it all together, $300. They put it into a money order, sent it off to this family in need. Seems 2 weeks later, another letter came. Same scrawled address. He opened it. The boy was thanking God for helping him. But then the last sentence ending the letter said, "Next time, would you please deliver it directly to us? It seems when you send it through the postal service, they deduct $200. How do we find hope? How do we make our needs known that we can somehow walk and talk and twit and tweet and whatever you call it in a way that is confident as Paul, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? That is so confident that we are absolutely convinced that if God is for us, nothing can be against us. In this chaotic and alienated and lonely world in which people are connected but never experience FaceTime, we're left to our devices. Can we believe that there really is an all-loving, all-powerful God that exists in this world, a God who is merciful, intimately involved with and concerned for our daily lives, believe in a God who sees us as precious, precious in God's sight, precious as children. In our act of worship, can we loudly proclaim that we ourselves are people of hope? So how do you discover God's mercy and love? For many, it happens in family. Think of those times when your child is waking in the night, frightened and needs consolation. The parent comes and holds, and the tears subside. The child begins to relax. A couple more minutes of rocking, peacefully to sleep. Do you remember those times of your own childhood? Those moments when a parent came, or a loved one, to comfort, to give warmth and care? How terrible, how troubled life seemed in one moment, and yet hopeful in the next. We have glimmers of these special moments, and they speak of something greater than just being a single moment. For in those moments, I think that's when we see God's light reflected and shed upon us. One of the commentators who I've always enjoyed, William Barclay, wrote, "The Christian not only sees the consequences of human sinfulness in the world, the disruption and the despair, but also can see the power, the mercy, and the love of God." That is the downbeat. That is the keynote of the Christian life, is to always hope and never despair. So hope. These three, faith, love, and hope. The apostle in this 8th chapter of Romans, patiently waiting, confidently expecting for that which we cannot yet see, but we know is true as a matter of faith, a promise to be revealed. Hope, experiencing the reality of God's grace as God touches us with unselfish love, even in those moments of vulnerable pain and despair. Hope, discovering the profound reality that nothing in this creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He wrote it. He sang it. It's short enough to go out on his Twitter feed. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This is the good news of the gospel. It wasn't just being repeated as a newspaper account. It wasn't just somebody else's experience being written down for others to share. It was the experience he brought to the table. This world of peace and hope in the midst of the turmoil that he lived in. And like the comforting arms of a parent for child, God stretches forth loving arms to each and every one of us. That in our weakest moments, somehow God's Spirit can touch us with a little bit of power and strength. In the moment of darkness, a touch of light, a beam that pierces the darkness and shows us our way. Nothing else in all of the world can give us that. We can get educational degrees. We can be part of institutions. We can come to church. We can join government structures. We can become the wealthiest person in the whole world and decide we want to buy power and strength and individual recognition. But it still pales in comparison to the expectant, confident hope that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, the one from whom nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is the gift of God. And so, as Christians, we are great possessors of this gift. I wonder sometimes if we really know what power God has given, what that hope can really do. And it's not ours just to bottle and to contain and to protect. It's ours to give away. And when we give it away, somehow we get more. Oh, this is a strange world we live in. This Christian faith just doesn't fit. It defies all the odds. It defies all the rules. That the more hope you have, and the more hope you give, the more hope you'll get. The anthropologist Lauren Eisley, in his book, The Unexpected Universe, captures a fascinating picture of what this hope can be. Because he loved to walk on the beach. This is the time of year when we all start dreaming of walking on the beach. We begin to see that the weather is changing, and the sun is bright, and the tide is more gentle. It's a better time of year than others. To start walking on the beach. The beach in the morning is sometimes littered with the debris of life. There are things that have washed up overnight. He found starfish and other creatures laying helplessly by the sea, cast upon the sand, you know, that strip of the wet stuff, you know, between, you have the higher part where the dune grass is, and then the hot stuff that you walk on and it hurts your feet, but then there's that cool strip, the wet strip of sand, marking the ebbing of the flow and the tide. He said, death walks hugely here and in many forms. For in the end, the sea rejects its offspring, and they cannot fight their way home through the surf that repeatedly pushes them back up on the shore. Starfish are particularly vulnerable, he said, because their little breathing spores get stuffed with mud, and then when the sun gets on them, it dries and they can no longer breathe. They are unprotected. And then the sun causes them to dry and shrink. He said as he walked, the only thing he could hear screaming was the gulls. And then he came upon another man, walking ahead of him on the beach, stooping down and looking at the starfish, and grabbing them, and flinging them back into the water. He approached him. The man did not look up. He just said, "Look, it's still alive." "Yes," Eisley replied, "it's still alive." And with a quick yet gentle movement, the man grabbed the starfish and flung it out as far as he could. "The stars throw well," he said. "It may live. If the offshore pull is strong enough, it'll pull them back out. They'll get revived. One can help them." And so without another word, the two men went side by side along the strip of sand, picking up half-dead starfish and flinging them back to the sea in the hope that they might live. Later still, as he was reflecting and pondering this, he wrote in his little journal, You know, somewhere I think there is a hurler of stars, always in desolation, but never in defeat. A star thrower, giving someone else a chance on life. Someone who gives us hope. Well, it's easy for us to become absorbed. It's easy for us to be confused. It's easy for us to experience the pain of our lives, seemingly unable to cope with the stress, to live in despair. All the messages around us seem to support that. And then we hear, every once in a while, these little words from God, these little tweets from God. But nothing can separate you from His love. Faith, hope, love abide. In Christ, no east or west. Every once in a while we hear these little messages that there is someone greater out there and within us. There is someone listening to our hopes and our dreams and our passions, who can feel our pain and our joy and is convinced that our living word is what will emerge from our dying flesh, that our ending is just our beginning, that the one who comes convinces us that nothing can separate us from that love. And that is the hope that makes life worth living. That is the hope that we are confronted with each day, if we but open our hearts and our minds and our souls, so that when we're dealing with poverty and war and threats of war and loneliness and disease and broken promises and physical and emotional challenges, that hope of God gives us that ray of light that shines in our darkness. These messages have been recorded eternally, timelessly. Our hope is the eternal love of God, which shines brightest in the darkest places. Indeed, there is a star thrower somewhere, someone who's going to help us have another chance on life. Someone who gives hope. And so you see, those of us who are the possessors of this hope, who call ourselves the followers of Christ, the followers of Jesus, are those who offer hope to others. Not false hopes, not false promises, but the genuine thing. The God of all hope. For you and I have experienced these moments in our own helplessness. We have experienced that inseparable love in a time of despair. And we are testimony to that, to the next one who comes along and feels that pain. Shining as lights in the darkness for the glory of God. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, "Faith, like light, should always be simple and unbending. While love, like warmth, should beam forth on every side and bend to every necessity of our sisters and brothers." We are coming to the end of this Easter tide, and there is a star thrower walking on that strip of land. And it is the love of God. For we are God's people. We are Christ's church. And we are called to be the givers of hope. Henry Nouwen, the poet and theologian, "Hope means to keep living amid desperation, to keep humming in the darkness. Hope is knowing that there is love. It is trust in tomorrow. It is falling asleep and waking again when the sun rises. It's the midst of a gale at sea when you discover land. It's in the eyes of another when you see that he or she understands you. In the midst of our desperation, but never despair, we discover God's hope. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am absolutely convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Retweet it, will you? Send it out. Let it be known. Amen.
Thank you.
And now go forth as God's people in this world. Go along that strip of tide. Find those people. Find those in need. Those who need a hurler of stars. Be a star thrower. Give hope to all whom you meet, to all who you greet, to all whom you care for. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds together in Him today and for all of the days to come. Go in God's peace. Amen.